Mike, what great worship this morning, eh? Isn't that sensational? Wow. Okay, those are a little bright. What a great morning we've got here. How's everybody doing? Great. You all right?
Yeah.
Sunday is my favorite day of the week. Well, welcome to church, everybody, right here at Broadway Avenue. We've got some business we want to attend to. If this is your regular place of worship, it's good that you're here today as part of putting some foundation stones into this house, is what we're doing. And if you're a newcomer here, just watch and observe and feel the love. And it's going to be, we got two parts that I want to play. And I want to commission Brock and Ange into a role this morning. Bible says that there are some basic things that we should, that are called, they refer to as milk. So before you go on to meat, there's some basic things like, sorry, before you go on to meat, there's just milk in Hebrews chapter 6. And one of them is the laying on of hands. And so we're going to lay hands on Brock and Ange this morning, and specifically on Brock. And we're going to commission them into a role right here in Saskatoon. And so just so happened, you know, I'd like to give you the whole history. We don't have that much time, but it's great that I have a couple of the pillars from our original meeting here. My father-in-law, Roland, is here. My sister is here. We responded to the word that the Lord had placed on our heart about Saskatoon, and we came and rented a room, and it was kind of like an Amway meeting. We met up in a hotel room, and we really didn't know what was going to happen. I was looking at that picture the other day. And the result of some of those steps of obedience and believing God is we can gather here this morning and worship. And the question that I had on my heart was, Lord, does Saskatoon need another church? And it was instantly as I asked that, the Lord seemed to have spoke to me in the undeniable, inaudible voice that said, they don't need another church. They need a kind of a church. And so we are not trying to reproduce what's already going on in Saskatoon. And there's great things going on in Saskatoon. There's great churches here in the city. And so we celebrate them. We're just another flavor is all we are. But in order for us to see the type of church that I believe that the Father is authoring for Saskatoon, we may have to do a few things a little differently. And that's the kind of adventure that Brother Bildo was referring to here. We might have to set on a fairly unique adventure. Tomorrow night is part of that. You know, the difference between Ai and Bethel. Bethel was the house of God in Genesis 28, and Ai was just a pile of rocks. The difference between those two stones, if you will, is that Jacob took the stones in that place and he set them in place. He changed their alignment. He moved them a little bit. And I find what happens when people come in to a church, they really don't want to be moved. They really don't want to be adjusted. They really don't want to be put in place. They'd rather be just comfortable the way they are. They like their religion and their religiousness and then make excuses why they need to stay that way. What they tend to do, and I'm not much different, is set our theology based on our experience. And that's not how you build a church. You have to let somebody set a stone in place. When Jesus referred to building his church, at that point, they were not working with mortar and bricks and wood and such. But at that point, they would take a stone, which was known as the reference stone, and they would set that in place, and they would take great labor at making sure this one stone was in place. And that stone would be the reference stone for every other stone that was put in the house. That reference stone was referred to as a cornerstone. And every other stone in the house aligned itself to that one stone. If it didn't align, it would compromise the foundation and the building itself. I submit to you this morning, one of the most frightening things in church leadership is where in the New Testament, it says not once, not twice, but three times that there was a stone that the builders rejected. That stone was Jesus Christ. Who rejected the stone? The builders. This is frightening for a builder of a church. We want to get the foundation right. I don't care how long it takes to get the foundation. But if we get the foundation right, the building will be solid. 50 years from today, this house will stand because the foundation is solid. We don't need thousands of people gathering around and us tickling their ears. End time says there's going to be lots of people want to come and see what's the latest deal. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to put a stone in place. Are you hearing me? Because we're building a church. We're about longevity and about legacy. And it was great that my father-in-law and my sister could come with me. But we're here today to transfer the leadership over. Because it's not our thing, it's his thing. We're to make disciples. Disciples of who? Not disciples of Lord, not disciples of Brock. Disciples of Christ. So that's the deal. And so this morning and tomorrow, like in the foundation of any church, there has to be apostolic and prophetic impartation. And so a little bit of what I'm doing this morning is shaking and stirring and moving around apostolically, and tomorrow there will be a kapow. And there's already a big flurry. Maybe in here, maybe in the spirit, you're saying, I don't need that, I don't want to go that. Well, you don't need to come, that's fine. But what I'm saying is we're putting a cornerstone in place. And Ephesians chapter 3 says the foundation of the church has prophetic and apostolic impartation into it. And so that's what's going to happen. My friend Fergus, who is a prophet from Australia, functions in that office. You might think there's no longer such a thing as prophets. Well, the enemy will leverage your ignorance in what God is doing to keep you from growing. But here's what's going on. Is he's going to come, maybe his last trip to Canada. He's going to be 70 years old this year, and he's a great man of God. And he's kind of like, once you meet him, you'll understand, he's kind of like a Fred Flintstone. Holy Spirit Fred Flintstone. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. So here's what we got to be aware to do. And I have not known Ange and Brock that long. But I've asked the Lord for eyes of the Spirit to see what he's doing in their lives. And I'm here to affirm what God is doing in their lives. Sometimes we look with eyes of the flesh and we can't see what God is doing. And Samuel went to anoint young David. He looked at Eliab and he thought, wow, there's a guy that looks like a king. But God said, no, that's not him. And he went through the list of brothers. He said, don't you have any more? He said, yeah, there's one out on the pasture. He's got red cheeks and nice eyes. And bring him in. Because he said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So we need to learn to look on the heart. And I've seen the heart of this couple. And on the outside, they look great. Black, dark hair, like really dark. He's a little bit Johnny Cash-y. Actually, he looks more a little bit like Baldwin, Alex Baldwin, a little bit this morning. So he kind of looks like he's the part, and that's awesome. But let me tell you, just before I lay hands on him, and I'm just going to motor along, right? Atta girl. I got my wife here, my beautiful wife, Kelly, of course. She's my timekeeper a little bit. It's nice to have my mom. We just celebrated her 80th birthday yesterday. Happy birthday. She's here. So here's how you grow in God. So listen closely, because this is what's taking place these next few days. Is that God puts us on a little bit of a journey, and he sees if we're going to follow or not. Anybody heard Jesus say that before? Follow me? He says that. He says, follow me. That's a pretty bold statement. That's a statement of a leader. He's going someplace. He says, follow me. When we begin to follow him, we realize that there are certain mountains and barriers and obstacles and disappointments and all sorts of stuff that happens along the way. But what he does is he comes along and he comforts us and he encourages us and he counsels us and he teaches us. This morning, every one of us are on that journey. I call it a process. It's going from where we are to where he says we're going. Because God always deals with us we have two relationships with God continually. One of where we are and one of where we're going. Because he speaks to us about our destiny all the time. He'll call you forward. That's what he does. And we'll use excuses to limit us from getting where we're supposed to go. And our excuses are always good. Excuses are great. We got the best excuses. We're very creative when it comes to excuses. So he speaks to us where we are. He's okay with that. But he also speaks to us about where he's taking us. So those two relationships are continually taking place. And in order for us to get from here to there, somewhere in there is an impartation of power to keep us going. So that's what happens Sunday mornings. You might come here and you're just in the process and you go ho-hum and oh man, wow, that word was dynamic. It spoke to right where I was at and now we can go on for another week. And those times are called chronos times, the measure of time. But then there's kairos times where in very strategic moments where he comes and there's an impartation of power and you go and you're carried through to the next level. Sometimes those impartations are at the beginning of the journey. You go, whoo, that feels so good. I'm good to go now for like a year or two. And then you start petering out a little bit. And God, where are you? And where are you? And then you just say, I don't think this is really working. I'm going to give up on all this. No, you need to come to church. And there's a great thing going on at C3. And whoo, you get another lift and away you go again. That's how we grow in God. So part of laying on the hands this morning is for that impartation. And a little bit tomorrow, there'll be an impartation. It'll be released into the atmosphere, and it's up to us to grab it and to absorb it. And so there's a process of walking our journey out with the Lord. And so tomorrow night, we're going to do a little bit of that as well. So I want to just refer to a couple passages of Scripture, then I'll invite the leadership team up, and Brock and Angus, I'm going to pray for them. There's a passage in Jeremiah that says this, before I formed you, I knew you. What is he saying? How can he know you before he formed you? Did you know that you were known before you were formed? Father knew you before he formed you. Try to get your mind around that. That before he formed you, you mean I was something before I was formed? Apparently. Written into your DNA. Before you were born, in God's imagination. He said, I need a Jordan. And so my future son-in-law and my daughter are here too. Isn't that nice? Yeah. But before Jordan was some idea in God's mind. He was just having a kind of a fun day. And he said, I need a Jordan. And before he formed him, he knew him. How wild is that? And before he formed him, he knew him. But not only that, before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you, he said. But today, he made a point. He said, but today, he said, Jeremiah, stand up, go uproot, tear down, destroy, and overthrow. And then you are to build and to plant. Four things need to be done in the preparation part. Twice as much needs to be done underground before you start to build on top of the ground. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For some of you, you need some things tore down. We tear down strongholds. What are strongholds? They're things that are strong and they hold you. Vain imaginations. What are those? Those are imaginations that are vain. Selfish. We tear them down. We uproot some things. There's some roots in you and I that need to be cut off, exposed. Put an axe to them. And then after you do all that preparation work, so for 3 years we came to Saskatoon and prayed up and through the streets and prophesied over the into the air and interceded and did a little bit of that groundwork. So we're in no hurry to grow any faster than the Father wants to grow. But we want to just do it at his pace. And this is part of his pace today. So in 1 Timothy, and I'll read this and then I'm gonna bring some people up here and pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul said to Timothy, my son, here are my instructions to you based on the prophetic word spoken about you earlier. May they give you confidence to fight well in the Lord's battle. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a prophetic word that you're using to put confidence in your warfare. If you have not had a prophetic word, you will not have confidence in warfare. I'm just reading this book's exciting. You should read it. So he says here, he says that prophetic word, what he was doing, he was basing what he was doing on a prophetic word that was spoken over him. A prophetic word is a sword that you use to war for your destiny. If you don't have a prophetic word, here's what you'll do to war. You'll use your circumstance to war. Ah, oh, we don't have enough. Oh, I'm too. Ah, oh, I'm not. We can't. Ah, oh, I'm not. You become a whiny baby and never grow up. But if you've got a word that God wants to do a great thing in your life, where's that young man with the curly hair? Right over there. The great thing, the thing, yeah. Still see you just standing right here, and and your shield, it looked like a shotgun had blasted in the front of you, but you've stood and you've taken these shots because, and that's a prophetic word to war over for your life, is that you're protected. You've got a great heritage. Somehow, somewhere, you've got a shield of faith. It's been hit a lot. It's like a shotgun blast. It's all full of little pellets. It's a little bit rusty, a little bit pockmarked. But there's a faith that has lived on from your family. It's living on in you. What was your name again? Matt. Matt. Bless you, Matt. Okay. So Timothy, here's my instruction. He said, I'm going to give you my instruction based on a prophetic word that spoken over you earlier. We need prophetic words to confirm our calling. And so tomorrow night we're going to get some prophetic words. Maybe you've had some prophetic words. And if not, I hope that everybody gets a word that they can war over. All right, so we want to put some stones in place that we want to do. So I'm going to read a little bit from 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and then we're going to pray over Brock and Ange. So I'd like you to come on up here now, y'all. Brock and Ange, the leadership team, Roland and Donna and my wife. You know, it would be nice if we get that other Matt to come and give me some atmosphere on the keyboard over here. There's a basic thing, the laying on of hands. It's one of the basics, laying on of hands. He said I want you, Brock and Ange, stand over here. Honey, stand here. Leadership team, stand behind them. Look at me, please. I mean, please. No, both of you, just beside each other. There you go. See, they're teachable. You can be put in place. That's beautiful. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, I know that you sincerely trust the Lord, for you have the faith of your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. That's why I remind you to fan into flames a spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. What happens when a hand gets laid on? A spiritual gift gets fanned in flames. Y'all have spiritual gifts. Gifts aren't very, they're not very impressive. Y'all have them. You don't build a church on gifts. You build churches on character and calling. Everybody's got gifts. But you've got they have a very unique gift, and these are people you need to recognize as leaders. And when they come and they make some adjustments, you need to be willing to allow your life to get adjusted. So here's what he said. He said, I want to remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you, for you've not been given a spirit of fear. Timothy had some anxiety about doing what he needed to do. Every leader, don't ever forget this, every leader faces insecurity, unsure. What are we going to do? What the heck's going to happen today? How do I do this? But he said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. He hasn't given you a spirit of fear. I haven't given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The four functions of a shepherd in John chapter 10, Jesus said that a shepherd should know their sheep, should feed the sheep, should lead the sheep, and should protect the sheep. So that's the commission that I'm giving to you two today. So the question is this, is will you know the sheep, feed the sheep, lead the sheep, and protect the sheep? Will you know the sheep, feed the sheep, lead the sheep, and protect the sheep? These are people that God has placed in your care. And if so, say we will. So that's a very big thing. Sheep aren't easy to lead, feed, protect. They can nip. Some, I've met some ninja sheep. I thought I had the right moves, and they come at me different ways. You got to watch it. We want to fan into flames. Here's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "My dear son, be strong in the special favor God gives you in Christ. You have heard me teach many things that have been confirmed by many witnesses. Teach these great truths to reliable people who are able to pass them on to others." There's a four-step process. What Paul taught to Timothy, Timothy needed to teach to people who would teach it to others. Don't spend your time on people who are unwilling to multiply that into others. You need to be wise about the people you spend your time with. Paul said there are certain people who the things that you know that you should teach these truths to trustworthy people who are able to pass them on to others. May God give you discernment to know the ones that you're to pour your life into so that they can pour their lives into others. These guys aren't to do your work of the ministry. You're to do your work of the ministry. They're to do their work of the ministry. And that's what I'm praying for you right now. Do you know what work is? Work isn't play. Work's work. Work, there's the work of the ministry. Work is not easy. It's work. And then he says this. He says this in both 1 and 2 Timothy. There's some things you should run from, some things you should follow, some things you should pursue. And there's some things that you should fight for and hold tightly to. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Your pastor is maturing today, commissioning him to run from youthful lust. To follow anything that makes you want to do right, to pursue faith and love and peace and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Brock, I'm going to ask you today, Brock, do you commit to honor and obey and to teach the word of God?
Yes.
So say I do.
I do.
Timothy said, you must be faithful to do the things that you have been taught. And you know there's things that are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures. So he says, then I solemnly urge you before God and before Christ, who will judge the living and the dead when he appears, preach the word of God. I commission you to preach the word of God. To preach the word of God. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. I'm glad that you want to preach the word. Brock, do you commit to a life of prayer, intimacy, and intercession? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Time is coming when people no longer listen to right teaching and they'll follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will just tell them whatever they want to hear and they'll reject truth and follow myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Takes prayer. You commit to do the work of the ministry and to remain teachable, if so say I do.
I do.
Do you commit to walk in unity with leaders that God has placed over you, with city leaders in Saskatoon and with the body of Christ? If so say I do.
I do.
Ask the congregation to stand. I'd ask you to kneel. You can stay standing. Put your hand on him. Let's put our hands on him. Holy Spirit. Father. Lord, we live in times that require men who will stand against cultural pulls, demonic deceptions, and fleshly desires. God, I heard from his lips today his desire. I thank you that you've placed beside him a perfect helpmate. And that him and Ange, Lord, have received your grace to do what's required to do here in Saskatoon.
I ask God for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit right now, that you would fan into flames the gift that you was placed in him. And as he stands up as campus pastor of C3 Saskatoon, oh God, I pray that there would be, that his sword would be sharp, oh God. I ask today that you would stir up gifts that are within him that have been latent. I gather with the intercession, Lord, of generations, that he would be the man of God that he was called to be before you formed him. You knew him and appointed him. And I'm just agreeing with what you've already said in his heart. God, we ask in the name of Jesus that Brock be commissioned for the work that you've called him to, and he would make that calling and election sure. We ask right here today, Lord, that we drive a stake in the ground and say from this day forward, from June the 2nd, 2013, that nothing will by any means hurt you. And lo, I am with you even till the end of the age, that he would know your presence in a brand new dimension, oh God, that a hunger and thirst for righteousness would stir up within his spirit, and you would place a fire within his bones, oh God. I ask that you place godly men and women around him, Lord, and shield of intercession over him, Father. And I pray that you would give him a great vision for a great city, for a great time, and for a great revival. And we all agreed and we said, amen. So rise, man of God. We have a microphone. Let's get a microphone for... Just stay standing for just a second. I've asked, this is one, just the passing of the torch is kind of important here, that you see that we're trying to follow protocols in a godly way.
Brock.
You're good.
Okay, Brock. I was reading out of Isaiah, out of the book of Isaiah, and I just run a parallel to Isaiah's calling on your life. One of the things he saw, he said, God opened up his spiritual eyes. He said, I saw the Lord. The glorious singing shook the temple foundations. Brock, you'll be one of the pastors with others who will be instrumental in shaking the foundations of the city. You will be. And secondly, you heard the call. It's very, very important. You heard the call. That's why you moved from Calgary to Saskatoon. And here's what Isaiah heard. Whom should I send as a spokesman to the city of Saskatoon? And you clearly heard that, Brock. That's why you and Angie moved on over 2 years ago. Thirdly, you responded in obedience.
Yeah.
Lord, I'll go. That's what you did.
Yeah.
You responded in obedience to that call. That's very, very important. And fourthly, Brock, today God has commissioned you to the city of Saskatoon.
Yeah.
To do the following, to bring the good news of healing, restoration, and life, to tear down and uproot anything that was not birthed by the Spirit, and give new foundations, to give you a vision to see, a process to follow, a strategy to use, an army of soldiers needed for a spiritual battle over this city, Saskatoon. Saskatoon shines because of you guys and your leadership.
Yes.
So we bless you. The favor of the Lord is on you.
Yeah.
The blessing of the Lord is on you. The Spirit of God is on you.
Yeah.
And he'll do great and mighty things. It says, with God, we will do great and mighty things. So we commission you today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You'll find great leaders here. There's many great leaders here that will follow you as well. Bless you, Angie. You too.
Beautiful. Yeah! That's good. Bless you, buddy. Well done.
Well
done. Angie, my dear.
I just wanted to say something. For Ange. God's called you too. And he's bridging the ministry in the marketplace.
Yes.
And the two of you together are stronger. Oh. It's not a separate thing.
No.
It's a together thing.
Yes.
And you are called alongside this man.
Yes.
You are as valuable in this church.
Oh, yes.
Your voice is as valuable in this church.
Yes.
Your prayers are as valuable in this church.
Yes.
So it's you two together.
Right.
But I think God just wants you to be Ange.
Yes.
Nothing more, mm-hmm. nothing less. All of Ange. And so I just want to pray for you. Pray for your business.
Yes, let it prosper.
That it
God.
Would prosper.
Yes.
And multiply.
Multiple, Father.
Father God, I thank you that you have called a couple. You have not called one, you have called
right.
two.
That's right.
They walk together in fullness of your image. Together, yeah. their fullness of Holy your Spirit. Image. So I pray for Ange and I pray for strength.
God
and courage
today.
I Father. Pray for support, Lord
Jesus,
God.
Jesus.
I thank you that she has
Beautiful.
Given much to see that Brock
yeah.
is where he wants to be. And so, Father, I thank you for calling Ange where you want her to be.
Right.
And so I pray yeah, for a double portion,
yes,
triple
God.
Portion, a
multiple,
blessing
multiple
upon
millions,
her business, Lord God.
You can trust her.
Father God, I thank you for the resources.
God.
I thank you for the finances. I thank
yes,
you that
yes,
she
Lord.
Is called to be a strong
yes,
businesswoman in,
yes.
in Saskatoon.
Yes.
Lord God, I thank you. Father God, that people will be attracted
yes.
to her and her business, Lord God.
Yes.
And I pray, Father God, that you would just continue to encourage her.
Yes.
Continue to strengthen her.
God.
And Father God, may she just know that she knows
yeah.
who you've called her to be. In Jesus' name.
I agree, Lord. We commission Ange into the marketplace, Lord, to be fruitful and multiply millions through her hands, Lord, and through yes. her businesses in the name, with guilt-free,
yes.
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Okay, we've made you stand up enough. That's enough. That's enough work for one morning. Well done. Thanks, buddy. Let me just give you a quick, no, it probably won't be quick, but it won't be long. There's something else I want to release here today. Isn't that great? Yeah. Oh, it's good. This, we're making history in Saskatoon. That's what we're doing. Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah, I knew I wanted to. That was perfect, sweetheart, because I knew I wanted. In our movement, we commission. So what we're doing is we find the gift. We commission Wake Up the Gift. But we always ordain couples in our movement. And because, well, you know why? Because it takes a husband and a wife. It takes a mother and a father in a house. And so that's critical. And so when the papers get sent out, there'll be Pastor Brock and Pastor Ange. And that's very, very exciting. All right, let's just run the video from Pastor Phil, our prophetic or no, our apostolic leader. Can we just run that, please? He sent a greeting in February a while ago, but I want here. Oh, come on. Thanks, Phil. Someday we'll get the boss to Saskatoon. That'll be a lot of fun. All right, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 16. I could, this has been a passage that has spoken to me over and over and over again. Many of you will know it by heart. But I just want to remind us that God's doing a new thing. And he's doing a new thing in Saskatoon. When God does a new thing, you know what kind of a thing it is? It's a new thing. It's not the old thing with a bunch of other stuff on it. It's a new thing. And so he says in Matthew chapter 16 here, we'll read the first, or 13 to 20. Peter, or Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He said to his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Well, they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he asked them, "Well, who do you say I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, and you did not learn this from any human being. And now I say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Whatever you open on earth will be opened in heaven." Then he sternly warned them not to tell anybody that he was the Messiah. The ecclesia, what is the church? I think it's really important that you know where you're going. We have a saying in Alberta that if you don't know where you're going, it's best not to use your spurs. First, get the direction. Where are we going? What are we doing? Then speed comes later. Jesus was giving Peter an incredible and a profound revelation. That's the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see something in this passage for the first time that you may never have seen before. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to subtly adjust your theology. You may or may not know it while I'm doing it. I'll be like a surgeon with a sharp scalpel. And I'll only take a few minutes to do it. What is it? The church, the ecclesia. When the church were those gathered ones who had the called out ones. That means that they had heard a call and they'd responded to the call. If you've heard a call and responded to a call, you may be part of the ecclesia. This was a common term used for both states, people, and the military. The ecclesia was a group that gathered because they had been called. They'd heard something and they responded to it. That means that they had heard a voice, they responded to a voice. They were able to follow an instruction. They were able to be taught and directed. So the ecclesia was someone who had seen and heard and responded. Jesus is showing us here how to build so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Have you heard the passage of Scripture that says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world? There is a way to overcome the world by allowing something to be born of God. We believe when something is born of God, it doesn't have to work to fight off demonic oppression. It just stands. That it doesn't have to go about being Satan-centric, that how big the devil is, or any of that stuff. It just grows and bears fruit. This couple are called to be fruitful and multiply. And what we did today was part of the establishing and putting foundation in place so that their fruit would remain. So Jesus is giving a great talk here to Peter, but it's actually defining how to build and how to build the church. The church is largely a mystery, unexplainable. May I remind us that it was not birthed or fueled by behaviors or beliefs, but rather by what they had seen and what they had experienced. I was criticized when I gave my life to Christ, so now you check your mind out and you're just doing what the preacher says. That's not the deal. It's not born out of a series of beliefs or behaviors, but what they had experienced and seen. It's a phenomenal thing. They called it the way, where a blue-collar guy, somebody from the labor sector, like a carpenter, a plumber, just a normal guy, this carpenter, he started to call, gather people together because he was convinced of a kingdom that nobody could see. Are you kidding? And people followed. It wasn't because of what was said, but what they experienced. A small band of Jewish dissidents defied a world superpower and a religious system that had been in place for thousands of years. And when the dust settled, they prevailed, not for a few years, not for a few centuries, but for 20 centuries. Every Sunday morning, when we gather together, we are part of the fulfillment of the prophetic word that came from Christ's mouth that said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. All the cultural lies and all the demonic deceptions will not stop his church from being built. So this is phenomenal. This little grassroots movement that started, and it's still going on today. Let me tell you that we are local church people, but we are very fond of legacy. That's something that can live on. And so let me say to you what I think our role is in stewarding the church, is that we need to leave it better than we found it. We steward the ecclesia in our generation. My question to you, are you going to just leave it the way it is, leave it like you found it? Or are we going to improve it? Are we going to make it better? That's our stewardship. And we need to be part of that. These five words remind us. Jesus was asking them this question. And this is, I need you to listen to all the, I believe every word is inspired here. You've got to listen to, watch each word and listen very closely. He asked them, who do people say the Son of Man is? So he's given him the answer to a question he's asking. It's like, this is not just open book. Like he said, you know, it's like I'm saying, hey, do you, I'm Lauren. Do you know who I am? So he's given him the answer. But he's not asking the question because he's insecure and he's not sure who he is. Here's why he's asking him the question. Because he wants to know who's influencing your vision of who Jesus is. I'm getting ready to tamper with your theology now. Question to you. Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, some say this, some say that. No. It's not what Aunt Mildred thinks. It's not what your crazy cousin thinks. He's asking Peter, who are the influences and the opinions and the point of views that are shaping who the cornerstone of his church is going to be? This is really important because we've got to set this in place. Who is Jesus? He doesn't use the Son of God, the term Son of God. He uses the term Son of Man. This is very strategic. Very intentional. So he says, well, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He wants to know, okay, disciple, whose voices are you listening to about who Jesus is? I want to ask you the same thing. Whose voice has influenced you about your vision of who Jesus is? Because he's the cornerstone of the church. Do you see Jesus as being angry? I guess it's rhetorical. Do people answer questions here when you ask them? Not really, do they? Not really. All right, it's just one way, is it? Shoot. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a long morning. I got to do it all the work? Come on. You'll come? How do you see Jesus? This is really important because your perceptions are what shape your life. So how do you see him to be? Your perceptions come out of your identity. He wants to know your behavior will be the result of your perception. You will act out of a certain way of how you see things. And so if you think he's cool, you'll be cool. If you think he's not a cool, you're not going to be cool. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying that he wants to know who are the people who are influencing and shaping your vision and your idea of who Jesus is. This is the foundation of the church. This is the foundation of things that we do. Do you think he's fun? If you don't think he's fun, you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, I don't want to go to church. It's no fun. That's a lie. He's so much fun. If you don't think God has a sense of humor, am I the only one that wants to hang around people who have good sense of humor? If you don't think he's got a sense of humor, look around the room. Look at y'all. As a father, there's nothing greater than to hear my children laugh. Do you think Jesus has a sense of humor? Or do you think he's mopey and grumpy? What's your vision of Jesus? This is the foundation how you will function in the church. So critical. My perception will determine my life. How you see Jesus is the secret of life. So he says, well, who do people say that I am? Who are the voices in your life? He said, well, some say this, some say this, some of this. So who do you say I am? I like what we sang about the I am. Do you know about the I ams of God? Jesus had 8 I ams in the book of John. I am, I am, I am. Simon Peter said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You're blessed, Simon, son of John. Who do people that say I am? Jesus self-referenced himself over 80 times in the New Testament as the Son of Man. Why is that important? You need to listen. Don't get hot or bog down on me here. You need to listen very closely. This is really important. He talks about this corner, the rock. This is before Vin Diesel. Talks about the rock. It was the compass. It's important. This is a secret of life. Where does your idea, your understanding, or your perception of Jesus come from? Does it come from what others say? Does your idea of who Jesus is come from who others say? From their understanding, from their revelation.
Do you get your vision, your visual of Jesus from others? Because this is the foundation of his church, the called out ones. When we build on this revelation of who Jesus is, gates of hell can't prevail. Listen closely. The church cannot be built on a Satan-centric perception. The church cannot be built on a Satan-centric foundation. Devil this, devil this, big devil, small God, can't be built on that, won't stand. Gates of hell will prevail against that church. Can't be built on a self-centric foundation. Selfish, can't be built. It can only be built on a Christ-centric foundation. It's the only one that will stand. Why is that? Why is this important? Here's why it's important. You live in the house that you build. Am I right? You build a certain... When Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 7, he says there's a way to build. If you build on a rock, when the winds come, not if they come, when they come, your house is going to stay standing. What's he referring to? Was he referring to a building? No, he was referring to a life. A life is a spiritual structure. A church is a spiritual structure. Yeah, it's a place, but it's more a people. More than that, it is a spiritual structure. So that means you have to follow spiritual protocols. Some people think that marriages are just a relationship. No, a relationship is a spiritual structure. It needs, and you need spiritual laws to govern a relationship. Marriage is a covenant before God. It's spiritual. You function in the flesh, you will violate the covenant. Church is a spiritual structure. He says that as long as you're fighting and fussing and all about demonic powers and the gates of hell, the church will not get built. He said, Peter, he uses the name Simon Peter. The word is pebble, little stone. And then later he uses the rock, little stone. Now I name you. Now his identity becomes, and he gets released in who he is. I want you to look at something very critical here. He says, okay, human beings, you didn't get this from any teacher. I can't teach you about Jesus. He has to be revealed to you. Are you hearing me? It can't come from teaching. It comes from personal revelation. People can't tell you what Jesus is like. You need to experience him. And then you need to hear him. And then you need to follow him. That's how the church is built. Not on one person say, come on this way, but on people saying, I think that's the voice of the shepherd, the father through the shepherd. We need to follow because there's an authorized gateway. There's lots of gates, but there's an authorized gateway. There's also a wolf, but there's an authorized gateway. We come in through the gate, and these two are gatekeepers here. So they say, yes, come in or don't come in. They mediate, moderate, they chair. They go, yes, no. I'm learning about gatekeeping because our land on the west side of Calgary is a gate for our city, and we need to learn to steward our gates. You need to steward your gates. Every one of us have gates. That's not really the message. The message is this, is that he does something here. He says, okay, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. And here's the big thing right now. It's coming right now. You ready for the DLs? Because here she comes. Now I say to you, on this rock, I'm going to build the church, my church. Who's going to build it? He's going to build it. Whose church is it? It's his church. It's not mine, not theirs. It's his. Let's keep that straight. Right? We're just in management. Okay? He's the owner. And I'm going to give you, all powers of hell won't conquer it, and I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, heaven. What you lock on earth will be locked in heaven. Whatever you open on earth will be open in heaven. All right. The access and the entry points. Listen to me. The key, access and entry, that's what a key is for. Who has the keys? Who has the keys? I'm engaging your left brain right now. Who has the keys? We do. I want to hear a bunch of people blaming God for stuff because he gave you the keys. He gave me the keys. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Who has the keys? You have the keys. You have keys. The future of the church is not in his hands. He gave it to us. Genesis 1:26, he hasn't changed. That you'll find no place in Scripture where he took back dominion and authority. He gave it to us. There's a difference between power and authority. Power is the ability to do something. Authority is the right to be able to do something. I gave these people the right to make decisions here today. They've always had, my son, here's the difference. My son is like this and like this, cement worker. He has more power than me, but I got the authority because I'm his dad. You can go get find a black car and paint the doors white and have a bigger motor than any of the police in town. You'll have more power, but you won't have the authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a difference between power and authority. So here's what he's saying. He said, I'm giving you access and entry points. Authority to those access and entry points. I'm giving you the keys. May I say to C3 Saskatoon that Christianity is always at its worst when it's a noun, and it's always at its best when it's a verb.
Wow.
2,000 years ago, Jesus said to do something. Go. You've been given all you need. Now go. Don't expect them to do all the work here. They need to do their part. I need to do my part. And the rest of you need to do your part. That's just how a family works. Am I right? Has anybody been in a family before? Can I see your hands if you've been in a family? If you have a heartbeat. Well, thank you. They do. See, they're talking. The power of hell cannot conquer this. If the enemy can trick you and deceive you into thinking otherwise, he wins. So let me change these words here now. The words bind and loose. This has nothing to do with wrestling with demons. This has nothing to do with warfare in the heavenlies. This has everything to do with what you allow and what you disallow. I mean, I'm honoring you by empowering you to own your life today. If you are living a sucky life, it's because you've allowed it. If you are walking around broken, sad, and broke, that's you've allowed it because you've been given keys to do otherwise. If you don't think Jesus is a healer, you're going to walk around sick. But if you see him as a healer, you'll take that key and you'll open that door and you'll walk out whole. I'm speaking loud because I'm emphasizing. It's really important that you understand who Jesus is. Because if you don't understand what Jesus is, we can't build a church. But if you understand who Jesus is, the powers of hell cannot conquer and will not prevail against his church. It cannot, it will not. But if you give that authority over to someone else and you think you're just a victim, you're done, baby, done. But if you'll accept the keys that he's placing into your hands, where are the keys? God doesn't have the keys. If you're looking for him to give you a key for something, he's going to say, what you got in your hand, honey? I've already given you all you need for life and godliness. What I want you to do is take them, crack those keys, and go do something with them.
Good.
That's what I'm giving. That's what I want you to do. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against that. This is really important. Take out the word bind and loose, put in allow and disallow. If you let the enemy mess with you, what's he going to do? He's going to mess with you. I've seen just about every kind of demonic manifestation I need. And what I'll often do is I'll go up and whisper in the ear of the one that's slithering around like a snake or something, stop. You don't need to yell, just stop. They stop. Because I've been given a key. You've been given a key. Matt, you got keys. Whip them babies out and use them.
Yeah.
All right. If you see and think that God is allowing something to happen, think again. When you see that we decide, what does he need? Here's what God needs. Both Satan and God need a man because he gave it authority over to a man. What kind of a man? A human. A human. He gave it to you. That's all he needs. He needs a man. Satan doesn't have a voice on the earth unless you open yours. God doesn't have a voice in Saskatoon until we open ours. God doesn't have hands in Saskatoon until we use ours. So, I just want to remind you that there's a greater one that lives in you than he that is in the world. There's a greater one that lives within you. Let him out. That's really all I got to say this morning. I think that's pretty well enough. I want you to hear. I'm expecting you're going to change the way. Whole band. Come on. If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly. Let's have the whole band. I expect that you'll change. I want you to change the way you pray. Because if you're praying like this, God needs you to change something. There you go.
You've been given keys. If you're feeling like the whole world's on top of you, you're asking him to move the world. He's already moved the world. He doesn't need to come back. He's got a church. Satan came. Here's what he did. He came. Satan came, and here's what he wanted to get him to function. Here's last revelation. He said, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" You know how Jesus functioned? As a man. Get it? As a man. Yeah, he's the Son of God, but he didn't function as the Son of God. Satan came to him and said, "Hey, why don't you just, if you're hungry, what do you mean if I'm hungry?" He hadn't been eating for 40 days. God doesn't get hungry. Man gets hungry. So what did he do? Jesus did everything he did as the Son of Man. And he said, here's how you can tell. In 1 John chapter 4, here's how you can tell the Spirit against the Spirit of Antichrist. Here's how you can tell. If the Spirit says that Jesus came as a man in human form. I don't know how he did this. It says that he emptied out all of his, Philippians 2, he says, he emptied out all of his God qualities and made himself as a servant. Everything Jesus did. You see clouds coming? Jesus spoke to clouds. Have you tried that? Anything he did, you can do. And actually, he said this. You ready for your circus to get blown now? He said, and even greater, because I'm going to the Father. Everything that Jesus did, he did as the Son of Man. He's not referring to gender. He's referring to each one of you, men, women, and children. I've seen children do incredible miracles. Why? Because they got keys. Do you know him? How do you know him? What is your perception of him? This will determine how you function. Would you stand with me, please? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So tomorrow night, we need to pack the place, because I don't expect that we're going to have this same prophetic impartation in Saskatoon, this type, for a long time. He's an old-time kind of prophet that Saskatoon needs this in its foundation. I hope you can come and receive tomorrow night. Where is it at again? Where are we at? Hope Fellowship. You know where that is? 32nd and 9th. Hi. I, 32nd and I. It's not working very good this way neither, is it? I love being with you here today. But here's what's really important. If you're just a little bit unsure about your relationship with Jesus, I want to pray for you today. That you would have a fresh revelation of him. Tomorrow night, we're going to rock I Avenue. It's time for I to move over and let the I Am come in. Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you this morning for the great revelation of your Son, Jesus. Yes, we know he did amazing things, Lord, but we forget sometimes that we can do even greater than he did. God, I thank you today that you've given C3 Saskatoon keys to unlock some things in this city. Father, as we stand here before you today, we know one thing is that we want to walk closer with you and we want to know you better, oh God. I thank you for these beautiful people that have gathered here this morning, Lord, to receive from you, to hear from you. So I declare and decree today, Lord, that they have heard your word, Lord, that it's landed on good soil, oh God, and we will be changed, Father, because of our fresh perception of who you, the Son of Man, is. That'll change how we see ourselves, how we see our friends, how we see our city, and how we walk in this town. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all through those doors. What people have been changed by the power of God. Now go and change your world.